Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, March 29th. The Senate Republicans' signature transportation funding bill passed the chamber yesterday, after the majority leader said this week that it would be delayed. Benta Berkland has the story.
Senate Bill 1 would send a ballot question to voters in 2019, asking to issue bonds for funding roads. The state would commit $250 million each year to pay off the bonds. There would also be a one-time infusion of $500 million. Majority Leader Chris Hulbert had said he wanted to wait on the bill until after the annual budget cleared both chambers.
I didn't decide to do it. The sponsors did. And they were ready to move it, so we did, and I'm happy that it passed.
Republicans originally wanted the bonding question to go before voters this fall. It was a compromise with Democrats, who wanted to see if voters will approve a sales tax increase for transportation being backed by the Denver Chamber of Commerce. The Senate's transportation measure cleared unanimously. Now it goes to the House. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
In news from the Delta County Independent, a former Paonia resident has been convicted for a second time in the murder of his wife. Nathan Yeager was granted a retrial after initially getting a guilty verdict in his first trial for murdering his estranged wife, Melinda Yeager, in Paonia in January of 2011. Yeager was seeking a not guilty by reason of insanity verdict in his second trial, which was awarded after the judge in his first trial failed to adequately inform the jury about the insanity plea. 12 jurors and two alternates listened to weeks of testimony in the second trial before again delivering a guilty verdict on March 20th. Yeager's defense team conceded that Yeager slashed Melinda's throat with a knife and killed her, but attempted to prove that Yeager was not sane when he committed the crime. But jurors were not convinced after listening to lengthy testimony by psychiatrists and doctors. Critics of Senate President Kevin Grantham say he's been inconsistent and even partisan with his handling of sexual harassment allegations at the State House. They say that raises concerns about his ability to be fair and help change the culture at the Capitol. Benta Berkland has more.
Kevin Grantham meets with members of the media every Monday morning in his office at the State House. It's a time for reporters to ask him about policy and other matters. And for almost 3 months, he's been answering questions about sexual harassment allegations filed against three Republican senators. Then, during the March 19th meeting, Grantham brought up concerns about a Democrat. He said Senator Daniel Kagan is known to habitually frequent the women's restroom.
You want to talk about a uncomfortable workplace environment, or whatever the terminology is. We have people that don't feel safe going in there without going in with somebody else.
Later that day, Republican Senator Beth Martinez-Humenic filed a complaint against Kagan. The restroom is private for staff and senators, and while it's commonly known as the women's restroom, the door isn't marked. Kagan admits to going in once, but also denies doing it multiple times.
It was an innocent mistake, and to try and blow it up like this.
Under the General Assembly's workplace harassment policy, Grantham is the one in charge of investigating the complaint against Kagan, or hiring an outside firm to do it. Grantham would also determine if punishment is merited.
Some people will perceive bias and unfair treatment because of the president's prior comments on this case.
That's Jennifer Droback, a law professor at the University of Indiana and a national expert on sexual harassment in the workplace. She says Grantham should recuse himself.
Deciding that someone is guilty before an investigation's been done really suggests that he has an agenda.
When sexual harassment allegations against three Republican senators were found credible, Grantham didn't say if his colleagues had acted inappropriately, but called the independent investigations flawed. Asked if he would recuse himself from handling the Kagan matter.
I will just have to look into it.
Grantham has also made contradictory statements about when lawmakers and staffers should be telling their stories to the media. Last month, he said they all play by the same set of rules, and he was critical of a male staffer who went public after filing a complaint against Republican Senator Randy Baumgardner for creating a hostile work environment.
A staff member went to the media first. and absolutely broke the rules as we all agree to live by. Didn't even allow the policy to be in effect for that situation, trying to create a media storm out of it. So that's a little bit upsetting.
But a month later, when Martinez Humenic filed her complaint against Kagan, she came to us with the story, and Grantham didn't say she broke any rules.
Like many accusers and complainants, she has availed herself of the press, like many of them have. It's a fine line, and that's why I'm not speaking about it now, because the complaint was filed.
That leaves the staffer, who wishes to remain anonymous for fear of losing his job, feeling like there's a double standard. Others find the remarks unsettling. Erin Hottenstein is with the group Colorado 50-50, which seeks to elect more women to office.
President Grantham is treating a member of his own party a certain way and treating a staffer who made a complaint against someone in his own party a different way. And that kind of inconsistency really shouldn't be happening. It makes the process look partisan, and this process should not be partisan at all.
The harshest criticism is still coming from Senate Democrats over Grantham's handling of Baumgartner. They're calling for Baumgartner's expulsion after allegations that he grabbed and slapped a former legislative aide's buttocks multiple times were found to be credible. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Here on the newscast, we've reported about upcoming traffic delays in Glenwood Canyon. Now there's news that this summer we'll have multiple construction projects on I-70 that will cause delays. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, the first will be in DeBette Canyon at the Powderhorn exit. Rock wall work will continue at exit 49, causing one-lane traffic in both directions and speed limits of 35 miles per hour. The project is expected to last till September and will cost $3.2 million. A few miles east, down I-70, traffic will slow at the top of DeBette Canyon, where work will continue on the westbound bridge over the Colorado River. That work will take place in three phases. The project is expected to last through mid-October and will cost $3.4 million. Work will also take place on a bridge west of Exit 90 or the Colorado Highway 13 exit near Rifle. Median crossovers and other work will cost $3.1 million and last into October. Once drivers are through all of that, there will also be delays through Glenwood Canyon and near Eagle as the Colorado Department of Transportation works its summer construction projects on I-70. Always consult cotrip.org when heading out on the highways for up-to-the-minute construction reports. That's cotrip.org. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.